Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Welcome to the Weird Things podcast. I'm Andrew Main, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Hello, beautiful people.
And Justin Robert Young.
Yo, what's up, ladies and germs? It's me.
I'll tell you what's up, guys. I don't know if you can see, but I am trembling right now.
You don't appear to be okay. You're doing a mock, like, melodrama version of a tremble, and now you're
there's a little
still
bit of a tremble. I'm trembling. Okay. Maybe I'm trembling on the inside. Don't judge my trembling.
I get it. We're all aging. Palsy's a part of aging. We're going to get shaky hands, all of us. Why are you making a big deal about this?
Brian, I actually have a story about that.
Oh, okay. All right.
maybe later on we'll talk about trying to get a diagnosis and then sending you to the National Parkinson Center.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Speaking of which, have you seen that amazing they use motion control technology normally reserved for cameras. But they use it in a spoon for Parkinson's patients. So it's like they like with a regular fork, they can't even eat a salad. Everything just falls right off. But as their hand naturally trembles. Yeah, there we go. Look at this.
Oh, this boy
is amazing. So it's a smart spoon, basically, for sufferers of Parkinson's, where it's too difficult to eat like cereal out of a bowl or something like that. Right now we're looking at the agonizing footage of the reality of this disease. But then you've got the smart spoon that corrects to the palsy on the fly and keeps the food in the spoon.
So from what I remember this is the same technology that they use for Steadicams.
Yes.
Interesting. I'm glad that solution's out there, and I hope that we find a cure. Meanwhile,
yeah.
My
yeah,
tremors.
I'm going to say, it seemed like there was this was a setup for a fairly light light story here.
Before I drug it into the depths of our mortal souls.
I go for walks. I like to walk at night because it's cooler out. Funny thing about the way gases and heat works. And I take different paths sometimes. So if you're trying to stalk me, don't try. And I went for a walk really late last night because after watching Game of Thrones and Rick and Morty and all that, it was like already like 2 a.m., but I'd like eaten a bunch of garbage during the day. So I'm kind of like, I need to kind of go walk a little bit off. So I go down this walk, and I go down it's this road called Riverside, which is a lot of little shops, things like that. You know, the passes this world famous Bob's Big Boy, where there are people in there. But the further on you go, the quieter it gets, and a little bit kind of surreal late at night because you're in this place that's normally during the day just filled with people, but at night you're in a place that's busy all the time, and then all of a sudden you're around when there's nobody there. It's kind of spooky. So I'm walking along, and there's this highway that goes kind of this in the middle, like the next, it's got like an elevated sort of highway, and I'm walking along, and there's a couple places where you can drive under it to go into the next neighborhood, like Toluca Lake, whatever. But I'm walking along, and I saw something I never saw before, which was this little like culvert that looked like a tunnel that was maybe 3 feet, 2 or 3 feet high, that looked to go all the way underneath the highway. It was behind a chain link fence. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I want to go take a closer look. So I go walk closer to it. And I kneel down, and I can see like a little bit, like maybe 20 feet into this little tunnel. I'm like, and then it ends in darkness. So I take out my iPhone, turn on the light and illuminate it. And I bring the light down, and I look, and I can see far back into this thing. Cause I'm curious, does this go to the other side? If I ever needed an escape route underneath the highway, is this something I could use? And I see like two eyes, silver eyes, sort of looking back at me. You know, like, so it's like jack lighting. So I don't know what it was, raccoon, possum or something, but just staring. I'm like, And then all of a sudden I'm sort of spooked out because it's empty parking lot. It's late at night. I'm like, this is how a horror story starts. So I turn off the light, back up, continue walking down the street. I go about another half mile, turn around, and I'm walking back. And there's a lot of these little shops that have, let's say, old clothing, used clothing, antique stuff, because sometimes they use things in movies. They have a lot of this sort of like weird curios and stuff. And out of the corner of my eye, I see what looks like a woman standing in a empty store, closed store, turning her body a little bit to the side as I walk. I'm like, well, that's weird. This sort of, I see like a silhouette. I'm like, that's weird. And I stop and I look, I'm like, oh, it's just a mannequin. I'm like, okay. I keep walking, but then the mannequin starts to move as I walk along. I'm like, guess the mannequin's on a turntable. So I back up, I walk back, and I look, and I see the mannequin standing in the store. I'm waiting for it to move again. It doesn't move. It just stands there. I'm like, well, this is weird. I take out my phone, and I take a photo of this because I'm like, you know what? Maybe a photo of this would be kind of a cool thing to have so you can see right now if you want to describe what you see.
Yeah, so we're seeing a backlit mannequin holding, looks like a viola or a...
I think that's something else in the window. Just okay. I think it's just the mannequin, okay. Yeah.
But you see a stark silhouette of a, I don't know, looks like a prudish 1800s woman who has the audacity to want to vote.
Yeah, so... this is where it gets weirder, okay? So imagine I saw this. Imagine I knew the owners or I went back there during the day. Let's go to the video footage. And I decided to cross the street and record video as I moved closer to this.
Well, and by the way, this looks sufficiently mysterious at night, having any kind of backlit figure with that.
So I moved to the side. So you see how it's hard to tell her, but it appears to sort of move with me, right?
It does. It does. It looks like it's turning with you,
yeah,
especially when you get to the very edge of it. And by the way, for audio listeners, like we're just seeing like a silhouetted structure that appears to kind of pivot, but I can't tell if the effect is coming from the less than perfectly straight window shot mirror or what.
So there we go. And somebody's pointing out vertical video. Yeah, it's great for vertical subjects. Funny thing. So. You saw that, right? Now, here's the thing. It's hard to tell, but as you got closer, I could start to see through the mannequin.
Wait a minute. So it wasn't even a fully opaque mannequin?
It gets weirder. So if I called the owners the next day, because now if you look, you realize that's a pet food store.
Hold on. You called the owners?
No, no. If I called. No. Oh, okay. There's more here. But okay, notice that's a pet food store.
Yeah.
So I went back there during the day.
By the way, high-end pet food. Like we're talking like, you know, you got
Ash.
Dumb amounts of disposable income.
Yeah. No, definitely L.A. pet food.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So I get closer to this thing. And I start to see that I can kind of sort of see through this. And I'm like, man, if I just left this alone, I have a great ghost story. Like, oh, there's this like woman appeared in the, if I called the owners like, hey, do you have a mannequin on a turntable? I'd be like, what? Like, I saw a woman in the store last night. I'm like, what? And they'd tell like, no, we looked at the footage. We don't have a mannequin. There was no woman in here last night. I would have that story.
Sure.
Okay. So, but me being me, knowing I have to do a podcast and I have to have answers, even though potentially I'm risking my eternal soul by, you know, the ghost woman in the pet store that could have been some other store before, I decide, you know what? Like, all right, let's play the, I have the second clip there of a little more video there. And I'm going to put the Scooby gang here and let you guys take a look here and see.
All right. So we're seeing a close up. Wait a minute. What's that Apple logo there for? Also, I'm seeing you go across a divider. Oh, wow. Is this it looks to me like what you thought was the entire display put in front of the actual mirror was in fact like there was a mirror at a 45 degree angle. Is that what's happening?
Yep.
Wow.
Pepper's ghost.
Oh, my God.
Wow. That's wonderful. Wonderful.
So when you go to Walt Disney World or Disneyland, you go to the Haunted Mansion, you see the ghosts moving around. They're mannequins, and the light's being reflected by a piece of glass. In some cases, it can be glass at either 45-degree angle or it can be a straight up and down, and you look down into it, which is the case. Actually, it's slightly different optical illusion. There's a different name for it. But the idea that you're looking through glass and an object with light on it and you think you see where it is, that's basically what we call Pepper's ghost. That's what was happening, is the mannequin was actually in the next window over, facing the other way. And at the far end of it, there was this backlit wall because there was a Mac repair store and they had a backlit light and it was illuminating the silhouette. And then this store display, because the glass was at 45 degree angle coming out, was reflecting that.
So they angled everything that would appear as the storefront.
Oh, naturally occurring. It wasn't an intentional display. If you look at just how the stores are designed, they wanted to create these sort of like window displays that projected outwards. It was just.
So this is by the way, if you were to do this on purpose, it would cost an astonishing amount of money because you'd have to actually design a building, a storefront that had these exact angles and you got the right kind of glass or whatever. But these people, do you think they even did it on purpose or do you think they even know that this is how it looks at night?
I would be shocked if they know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would. If you were going to do this intentionally, I think you would do. You do a little more elaborate because understand it's the next store over had the other display. I think it was just a funky random thing.
That is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, curious to ask them. I mean, I might follow up. I mean, I am the guy that called the cup noodle people about their new brand of noodle soup. So,
hold on. What is their new brand of noodle soup?
It has a full serving of vegetables, man.
Wait, it does?
Noodle things are here. Come one, come all. Full noodle coverage on the Weird Things podcast.
Full frontal
Andrew
noodly
now.
Do.
So, anyhow, that was my little adventure. Turns out the place was not haunted. And then, this was kind of a weird. You're right. I can't say that it's not haunted.
Thank you. Okay. That's all.
Earlier in the day, I walked by my mailbox and I see that somebody's giving away this. The sign there says like free enjoy. And I'm like, oh, a Hearthstone chest. No, it's not. It's just, you know, a little curio cabinet. That's totally for free. That's totally not how a horror story begins.
Yeah. Are you saying like as a warning to our listeners that we should remind you, like if you find a curio cabinet, you should think twice about what you're inviting into your home?
Yeah, not today, Satan. I'm sorry. You're not going to fool me with that one.
Here's something that you can do today. Supporting us on Patreon. Patreon.com/weirdthings is where you can kick in just a few little pennies our way and support this weird endeavor.
Heck yeah, man. Dude, for less than a cup of coffee that you'll never notice or miss, like it's kind of Patreon's great because it's the kind of thing where it's like you press a button and say, hey, I like these guys. And then you live the rest of your life and you listen to us the entire time and you always get the smug satisfaction of knowing you're somebody who didn't just talk about how great the show is. You're somebody who actually helped make it happen. And then from time to time, you'll look over your credit card bill and be like, oh, wait, yeah, I guess I am giving, you know, $4 a month to these guys. You know what? Feels good because Bryce deserves a dollar. Brian deserves a dollar. Andrew deserves a dollar. Patreon.com/weirdthings.
Cup of noodle costs a buck, guys. This is how podcasters eat now.
Give us a cup of ramen. By the way, that I guess only Bryce appreciated my joke where I left Justin out. Anyway, please. Thank you for all the patronage. Let's keep the weird rolling.
Gentlemen, let's talk about weird for a moment. In a few days' time, the world is going to come to an end.
Yep.
By the way,
the snake god is going to eat the sun god, and then either we will all die in a freezing oblivion, or the sun will be born anew and everything will start over. But it won't quite fully start.
And it all is based on whether or not you've been very good this year. So everybody take a moment, look into your hearts. Have you been very good? I certainly hope so.
Let me put it this way. If you don't support our Patreon, we're not going to bring the sun back.
Yeah. And only if our Patreon gets to unforeseen heights will we indeed bring the sun back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absent that, like thoughts son. And prayers will count towards the conclusive total. He said, giving wiggle room so that they could claim credit for when the sun returns.
So we're getting another eclipse. Remember, there's always an eclipse. It's just the Earth isn't always in the path of the eclipse. Just a little Andrew fact.
That's a good point.
It's very deep. It's a shower thought.
It actually is, right? The sun is constantly in an eclipse. It's just
here we go.
Sometimes we're in the right place to see it.
That's from Andrew's new blog, You and This Is Not Special.
Yeah. You're on the far side of the moon. You're like,
eclipse.
Whatever, man.
I'm living it every day.
Or the dark side, rather. Let's be careful about that. So, you know, I'm gonna explain just very quick my theory on when you're dealing with like flat earthers, and it's not really helpful to sort of engage flat earthers. Having worked a number of years in, you know, dealing in critical thinking with $1 million challenge, offering, you know, to test claims of the paranormal, unusual, whatever, there is a category of thinking which is, you know, my clear test, am I crazy or am I not? Which I had to ask myself that when I talk to people. I'm like, well, I think they're crazy, but they think I'm crazy. What's the difference? And the difference to me was I can establish what would prove to me that I was wrong. I can say, right, here's how you can, you know, here's how you can falsify. And that's getting back to Popper. And we talk about the falsification theorem. You know, the idea that if you can falsify something, that's science. If you can't falsify it, it's really hard to say it's testable or evidence-based, et cetera. Does it mean something's not true if you can't falsify it? It just means
it's not. It's confirmable as true.
Exactly. So, and when you talk about phenomenon that's observable phenomenon, well, that should be testable. That should be testable. And maybe not presently or immediately, but you could create some sort of test. So when I talk to people, I'm like, oh, I know this is real. I'm like, well, how do you know this is real? Like, well, you know, one, I have the best evidence possible. I saw it. I'm like, okay. So every experience somebody says they saw happened is true. Well, no. Not all. Okay. Some people's experiences are true and yours are always true. And you get into this, you know, that like, you know, and like, I won't say that everything I observed, like I thought I saw a mannequin moving on a turntable.
That is the hardest thing. And I strongly suspect that magicians are one of the few occupations wherein the stigma of intelligence is in no way associated with whether or not you're fooled. I think that most people believe, like, well, I am intelligent and I am observant, therefore, if I saw it, mm-hmm. it must be real. But magicians, when you make your living every single day taking advantage of all of those little, you know, back doors in people's brains, you very quickly disavow or disabuse yourself of the notion that you have some kind of special viewpoint on anything, and that you know you are.
Brian, I wish you were right, but like doctors, magicians are just as dumb as anybody else, because the number of magicians I know that they should have learned that lesson that don't, because they go, I can counter the opposite. I know how that magic works, and this wasn't a trick.
That kills me. That kills me. How do you spend all day every day fooling people that you're foolproof? You can't be, of course you can be fooled.
Because you know how it works. I went to the test, this girl that like claims she could read with her fingertips, put her hand in like a Crown Royal bag and all this. And the scientist running this test, like, and we even have a magician here who's verified this. And the head of the local magic club is like, yep, I know how magic works. Not a trick. Mike, you're an idiot. You're just an idiot here, you know. And it was, and I could go into like that whole lab story where the head lab assistant knew there was something going on, but he couldn't tell his professor. And anytime I wanted to make a point, well, what did you think? What did you think? What did you observe? And pulled him into this because like I'm the one skeptic here, apparently. But I'm like, no, this person thinks this is BS. This person thinks BS, but they're afraid of it. But the one magician guy, the head of the local magic club, and I'm like, anyhow, Brian, I wish that was the case. It's like I drive by the hospital. Who do I see out in the back smoking? Doctors and nurses.
Yep.
Yeah.
So in theory, we should. But, you know, magicians are some of the hardest of all because they don't want to be fooled, and they'll come up with the dumbest explanations for things they don't know how it works because they got, you know, I'm like, I saw a mannequin on a turntable, you know,
right,
which made no sense. But that could have been my story unless I'm like, you know, that sounds kind of dumb. And anyhow,
real quick, not for nothing. Now's as good a point as any. Like one of my favorite things is when people ask me how magic tricks are done and I say, how is it that you would do it? Like if cameras were here in 4 hours and you had to reproduce it, how would you do it? And they come up with something like, well, I guess I could do this and that would cue the guy and then he'd be forced to do X, Y, and Z or whatever. And then they always get to the actual answer and then they say, but that'd be dumb. That'd be dumb. That can't be how we did it. Like if the moment you have the thought, but that would be dumb, that can't be it. That's it. You probably have found the solution.
Well, remember, and particularly when it comes to like in like TV specials and stuff, people either go, it's a camera trick. Like, no, it's shot that way. Most people think that like Game of Thrones, the episode we watched last night was probably shot last week. You know?
Yeah.
They think that like, you know, they're like, oh yeah, they just, whatever. It's like, no, that takes a long time to prepare. Way more goes into that than you realize. And whether it's magic on TV or a magic show you see, it's not like the guy just said, ah, you know what? I'm going to pick a card. I don't know how I'm going to wing it. And, you know, we hide how much preparation goes into things. So back to like the whole, like, how do you know you're crazy? And for me, it's like, can I test this? If I can't test it, then I don't want to hold on to this too much because I could just pick up any other arbitrary idea. So when you talk to flat earthers, the thing that becomes very clear in my experience is you ask questions, not like, you know, because it's people like, oh, I'm going to debate this flat earther. And like, I've dealt with people who have, let's say,
flat-earthism
beliefs. Sure. And they are immune to these things because they will not question their own belief. They will not test these things because they've already got a hypothesis they accept. And part of that hypothesis often is there is a big conspiracy. There is a big conspiracy. So no matter what evidence you entertain or present to them, well, it's because of the conspiracy. It's because of the conspiracy. So flat earthers, because like I'm always curious, like, well, I still can't get a good explanation for like what causes like night and day from flat earthers, and you'll see these dioramas of like a sun floating around causing like one beam of light, you know, moving around in sort of this pattern, like light doesn't do that, you know. And then the whole eclipse thing, I'm like, I would love to hear their logic on eclipses. And you get like in the flat earthers, like, hey, because the path, they're like, look at the path of the moon and how it's so much smaller than the moon. They're like, look, that's proof. Now the problem, they'll do like experiments. Like I put a flashlight here and I can't get an object to be smaller than the light source. It's like, you got to use a really, really large light source. I mean, it's like not entertaining diffused lighting, et cetera. You get into this, all right, you're really not testing this because it all comes down to conspiracy.
Well, yeah. And by the way, with a flashlight, if you use a standard flashlight and then you took a needle and had that be the proxy for the moon, then you would have something closer to what the actual eclipse is, because the sun is what, 100, 200, 500 times bigger than the moon?
Yeah, and you need a large diffuse light source, so it's coming in from multiple angles, you know, so you need to diffuse that and not have like a single, you know, what matters with a flashlight is like, how big of an area is the source light? And can it go around that object? And so what you see when the moon goes over the earth, it's not this direction, it's all the light coming in, you can actually calculate the sizes of the relative objects based upon some data from there, like you can do math there. So, but yeah, it's a thing that on the surface, if you just want to go like, well, that, and then you don't want to think it any further, you're like, well, I guess that's it. And I've asked this on Twitter, because I don't, with flat earthers, because I don't try to like, oh, I'm going to show them they're dumb. Like, I kind of like genuinely want to know, like, here's what I would ask. And I've asked this before, like, so like, do you think that like we're in the disc? Like, yes. Like, I'm like, why don't you, if I believed this, I would mount an expedition. I would want to go to the edge of the earth. That would be the most amazing thing in the world. And it's like, well, they won't let you. It's like, okay, well, maybe get video of the people who aren't letting you, you know, like, let's do a live stream going to the edge and let's get like, hey, the Coast Guard cutter's like, no, you can't go any further. There's a toxic spill. I mean, in the entire ocean.
So let's take it as foundational that there exist, we'll say, 1,000 people who believe that the earth is flat, right? And let's also take it as axiomatic that between them, they could each scrape together $1,000 a piece to make this happen. That's a $1 million expedition to go to the edge of the planet or whatever disc they believe that we're on instead of a planet. Is it a case where they're so convinced that the mission is doomed to failure by they that they won't even try?
Yeah,
I mean, certainly so. I would guess, right? That's the whole point of conspiracy, is that there's this chilling effect and they can't fight through it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like all that's kind of a quiet admission that they don't really believe it. I think that
I think it's they really believe in the conspiracy. I think it. Here's, yeah. So let me get to the part of it. In my experience, when I've talked to these people, and I was fortunate enough to have a couple people who are, you know, friends of the foundation. I work for the James Randi Foundation. I would get these papers who were psychologists, and I had this sort of like pet theory. And I gave them to a couple of the different guys who were psychologists there. I said, I want to get your opinion on what you're reading, what you think there. And I didn't ask them to confer between each other. And like, oh, these people are like, I'm using the improper terminology. This is what a paranoid schizophrenic says. These are schizophrenic. These are people who are And I kept getting that every time I encountered that wall, the psychologist like, this is how a schizophrenic functions. This is what you're dealing with. And that made me take a very, very different approach towards handling a lot of these claims. I realized I'm talking to crazy people who are paranoid delusionals. So
yeah,
if you scratch a lot of this stuff, and I'm not saying everybody who believes this is that, I'm not going to say if you believe it, but I'm saying that like the ones who are like, nope, they'll stop you. They absolutely believe in a conspiracy. They absolutely believe that, you know, the reptiles or Satan or whatever. They really genuinely believe that.
Hey, and so Bryce, I'd say, yeah, Bryce, no, check your email sincere. Real quick. I found something. Might be a reason why these people are paranoid about going on an expedition to find the edge of the world.
27 people missing and presumed dead in flat Earth expedition.
This comes from the reputable outlet, the Nevada County Scooper.
So this is a parody newspaper.
Yeah, I'm not exactly sure exactly how legit it is.
I mean, they have the dirty joke of the day. So, dirty joke of the day is on every reputable
print.
I can't tell where everybody lines up in the spectrum of the reputability of this.
Any persons mentioned are copy bearing or some Mr. persons living or dead is a mere coincidence and probably a creation of your imagination. Yeah, it's a parody site.
Okay,
there you go.
Yeah, sorry, guys. I don't want to be like, you know, it's parody.
It's almost as though
they're
making
the party.
The parody's making my point is that these people would never actually go do an expedition. The fact they went missing.
Sure, yeah. You know, I mean, I think the whole point was it was a joke. That's fine.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, that's like, that wouldn't it be, I'm thinking like, man, that would make like a great, like Michael Gondry type movie or whatever, or Wes Anderson, like, you know, a expedition to the edge of the world. And, you know, but, you know,
so,
I just,
okay. Can we talk a bit about the eclipse? Cause on the one hand, the eclipse is the least remarkable thing I can think of. It's a shadow that's always there. It's just, you know. It's like imagine a light post and we're like, hey, man, let's stand in the light post shadow and then we'll stand there and the sun will be on the other side and we'll be in the shade of the light post. It's like that sounds like the dumbest thing to get this excited about. But in my lifetime, when was the last time there was a full solar eclipse in the United States?
Actually, it was last night, Brian. Every time the Earth turns away from the sun,
okay, all right, touche. Well played, sir. Right. You're not wrong, Walter.
That's special, guys. It's not special. Nothing special.
Although I did enjoy watching the Venus transit when we did that. I pointed.
Brian, it's a family show.
We invited people over. I pointed our 8-inch Dobsonian telescope at it,
show.
And then I held up a piece of poster board that projected, you know, the image that was on there. It was awesome. It was in focus. You could see all the sunspots. You could see Venus moving across the disk of the sun. It was way cool. But in this case, like in my lifetime, I've never had the opportunity to see a full solar eclipse, be there at the moment of totality. And I realized that I'm not alone. There's a lot of people who also are very excited about the eclipse, which means, keep in mind, for 20 years, I've been a professional traveler. Like, as I'm fond of saying, the magic show you get for free. What you pay for is for me to get up at 3 a.m. to catch flight to go. So I've had a lot of experience in being at certain places in the United States at certainly at precise designated times, despite obstacles. There have been times that, you know, it's like you get there and they're like, we don't have any cars. Great, I'll rent a U-Haul. You get there and it's like there's been an avalanche or whatever. It's like I'll charter a helicopter, whatever. You solve the problems and you get there on time. This is maybe in my life the most important appointment that I have, and the more I talk to people, the more insane I am convinced it is going to be. The whole world has gone mad. What I heard is that in Wyoming, they're flipping the lanes. Instead of one northbound or two northbound lanes and two southbound lanes, they're like, oh, yeah. The day before, all four lanes will go north. The day after, all four lanes will go south. And then,
wow.
And furthermore, talking to people in these rural areas, they're like, yeah, our cellular infrastructure cannot possibly handle the influx. So plan on not being able to use your cell phone during the eclipse. If you show up in the band, you are going to be surrounded by enough people that you will not be able to use your internet brain. So that all of a sudden I realized, like, what does this mean? This means, like, for my kids, I have to make sure that there's enough food that, especially with two kids with food allergies, I have to make sure that we have enough food that we can get from point A to point B. I have to make sure we have printed out physical maps. I have to teach my kids how to read a compass and whatnot. Like, this is the closest in my lifetime I will ever get, very likely, to an actual zombie apocalypse scenario. Me versus thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of other people trying to get to the same place at the same time. How insane is that?
Well, you hope that's the closest you come, Brian.
Okay. You're right. Anything could happen. But we rented an RV for 5 days. It turns out that the band is pretty much, no matter where we want to go, it's about 12 and a half hours of driving. So I'm hoping that 2 days up, 2 days back will cover us. But basically, I plan to be completely self-sufficient for the time that we're in that RV. So that we can have a pleasant rain day playing, you know, Monopoly family trip. And as long as we physically make it to the eclipse in time, I'll be happy.
Yeah, will. I fly from Gen Con on Sunday to Portland. And then we are going to be driving south from Portland down to the coast to try to catch the eclipse there.
Are you worried about weather?
Losing your soul?
About whether you'll lose your soul?
The reason why we chose Portland is because we can either do the coast or we can go up into the mountains. So hopefully between the two of them, there won't be any kind of sustained cloud cover. But who knows?
Yeah.
Andrew, are you doing anything for the eclipse?
I don't know. I'm looking at the path here thinking, do I, you know, like debating, you know, whether or not I want to or not.
Well, part of it also, and again, apologies to anyone not outside of the United States. This is very U.S. centric, but
yeah, they don't have a moon, Brian. Remember that.
Not our moon, not the American moon. We went and planted a flag on that one. I believe we're entering a phase where there's going to be a number of upcoming eclipses, right? Like this is going to be the most spectacular one after, like, you know, after being on tour for a long time, he shows up. He's like, I'm here, the moon shadow.
The end times. Yeah, and I was looking here. I was looking like, all right, maybe. I don't know yet. I don't know, guys. I'm not sure if I believe in this eclipse thing, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I did find another story from the extraordinary website disclose.tv, a hub for conspiracy theories, that late last year there was a flat earth expedition that they announced that there was going to be a flat earth expedition to Antarctica
to prove that it wasn't there? To prove a negative?
I wasn't really able to tell. There's apparently a YouTube video, but like most conspiracy YouTube videos, it's
made in iMovie.
Made in iMovie.
I'm wondering, do I smell a Kickstarter for us in a trip to Antarctica?
That'd be fun. I would.
If nobody else is going to prove it, like, why don't we get up there? Just see what's happening. We'll just keep walking.
We know that no amount of proof or evidence that we provide will convince somebody who believes the Earth is flat. We know that. And we also know that, like with anti-vaxxers and whatever, the more you challenge or confront them, the more diehard they come in their beliefs, you know, and the more you, you know, present evidence to or whatever people, then later on, you know, just they become more adamant. You can't reason somebody out of what they weren't reasoned into.
So
and we know from our training from the Rothschild family that this is the kind of stuff that can't get out there no matter what.
Yeah.
Do you think that how much money with sufficient publicization? Okay, how much money could we get to put a TARDIS on the South Pole? Just to mess with anyone making an expedition to the South.
Brian, I'm hardly finished with the time crystals on that one. I told you, we're not even going to talk about that project.
But I'm just saying, just put up a police box there at the bottom of the South Pole. How great would that be?
The case is done. It's at my buddy Peter J. Wack's house. That's done.
It's okay, good.
Gotcha.
I, the disappointing part about us doing an Antarctic expedition to prove that the Earth is flat is that everybody who already accepts that the Earth is flat, it's not going to sway them.
Right.
You know.
And also will not sway anybody who believes that the Earth is round.
No, I mean, unless we're wrong, and that would be kind of amazing and epic.
That would.
That would be great. I would love to be proven wrong that the Earth is flat.
And controlled by that Satan? That's great. You heard it here first.
We'd be heroes to the flat earthers. Finally, vindication and justice.
That's like being the president of Scientology.
Don't say that too loud. He'll come after you.
It'd be awesome.
Yeah, actually, no, as Knott's pointed out, I just tried to book our tickets, and I was turned away by them. So, sorry. On United.com, it said, sorry, we have to refund your money, as them have said, you are not allowed.
Yeah. Yeah. Quote the Bilderberg Group. So, very cool. I read like two articles in a row, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. I'm like, oh, that's cool. And then I put the two together in my head and I go, that's terrifying. Number one, you heard about the idea that scientists were able to encode malware inside of DNA.
What?
Yeah, we actually reported on this on Daily Tech News Show. It certainly is a controlled environment that they were able to do this, but it is really fascinating.
Yeah, the Cliff Notes version is what they did is they looked for like a vulnerability in DNA analysis software, and then they coded into DNA something that could exploit that. So as you were decoding the DNA, it was actually able to exploit the DNA analysis software.
That's brilliant. You know, when it's just words, it's just a story. But when you actually do it, it really does become art. Like that's wonderful. If they physically made DNA that had the encoded corruption.
Or they created a sequence. I didn't read that further, but it's not hard to. You could create that sequence easily. I mean, yeah. You just put that in a sequencer. So it's funny because, like, you know, Elon Musk has been warning us about the dangers of AI, and people are like, oh, that's silly or whatever. But and it's like, and you, I've come up with, I've told people before, like, well, here's an example of like this. They go, yeah, but that's just a hypothetical. And I'm like, yes, when they're no longer hypotheticals, we're effed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and so. So there was that article, and then another article came out, which was about, and this is amazing. So they have this new technology, which is apparently like a chip that you put over an injury, and it injects the cells there with DNA that reprograms the cells so they can start healing, right? It turns them kind of like just reprograms them to say like start healing, whatever. It's legit science apparently done with university, whatever. So it's like it injects that with DNA or RNA to reprogram so you can accelerate the healing process.
That's amazing because once so am I right in understanding this? All cells begin as stem cells. They begin as pluripotent.
Like pluripotent.
Yeah, and then they become, you know, they're like, here's your job. This is what you do. So when you think about, like, for example, when I was holding the drone that chopped up my hand, I'm still, you know, 6 months later doing scar management on there, and right now I'm. All scar management boils down to put on a silicone strip so that it keeps it moist, and the softer it is, the more it will want to heal. But meanwhile, you have all this tissue, like all of these skin cells are just basically saying, not my job. Man, that ain't for me. But if I could put
five guys watching a hole.
If I could lay down a little thing saying, yes, it's your job, everybody get to work, how amazing would that be?
That'd be fantastic. Oh my God.
Yeah, so it's an amazing technology, but it's terrifying. They put this chip on top of there, and then it injects with this RNA, and it uses like an electro. It's activated by an electrical current. This is from Ohio State University. So, I mean, this looks like a real kind of like, hey, yeah, I know we can, you know, accelerate the healing process with that, which is awesome. If I hadn't just read an article about using DNA to reprogram and create malware,
but ha!
The future is scary. Ha. We get and takes, but hey, great, the good news is.
Terrible is a good word.
Yeah, terrible
and wonderful. Terrible.
The good news is that, like, you know, we're always going to have an upper hand on the robots because it's not like they're going to beat us at. Okay, they beat us at tic-tac-toe and checkers, and chess, and go. But you know, more involved abstract level things like war games or video games or things like that, where it takes a lot of kind of imaginative thinking. We got it. We got it covered.
Yeah, Andrew, I don't know if we do. I think there might be, and we might actually be giving them the tools to be better at us than those games.
What?
Yes, Blizzard is now giving them access to StarCraft. Oh, wait. Oh, and then Open. I didn't know this one.
Oh, no,
apparently
yeah.
OpenAI. It was OpenAI
that did this
together.
Elon Musk's company.
OpenAI and Valve are made a neural network bot or they made a bot that would play itself in Dota 2, the MOBA game, and get better. And there was a clip from during the International, which is going on. It's the big global Dota tournament where the bot played one of the best solo Dota 2 players and trounced him multiple times.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Yeah, context here is that the bot with the AI was designed by OpenAI, which is one of the initiatives that Elon Musk funds. And when Elon Musk was saying, hey, guys, we need to be careful. We need to be thinking about this stuff. And people are like, meh, I'm an expert in this field. Meh. Musk is like, I've seen stuff. And this is what we've seen publicly. We're watching and we're like, wow, it's a video game. I'm like, yeah, but it couldn't do that a year ago. And that's the thing is like, it's like, I don't know if he's right or wrong, but I'm not going to dismiss this guy who has one of the largest artificial intelligence companies in the world in the form of Tesla that's heavily funding things like OpenAI, and he sees things in the lab and other stuff. He's not just an academic writing papers in the middle of nowhere who has a little view of this. This is a guy that's seeing things, and now we saw this demonstration of like, yeah, here's a game that, you know, takes a lot of creativity and planning to do this, and people describing the way that it beat them say that it's eerie. It's sometimes very human, sometimes very not. So I don't know.
Yeah, and keep in mind, you know, everybody has experienced the process of losing to an AI, but normally the AI, number one, has information that you don't have, or, you know, it's part of a whole pre-set up system or level or whatever. The fact that this is ostensibly, you know, an artificially intelligent being playing with the exact same information that any human would have and then defeating a human is the significant advancement.
And one thing to think about too is that in one hand you'd be like, well, you know, it's if you create a big enough computer. What's happening here, it's not that they're just creating bigger and bigger computers, is the computers are getting more intelligent in how they handle that information. And
yeah,
if you start looking at the, you know, and you find out sometimes they're they figure out these very simple algorithms, et cetera, to do this sort of stuff. So, you know, it's you know, so Gamer Chick says, well, humans have the ability to disobey at will, and that's why your computer and your phones always do what you want, because they never go wrong or malfunction.
Touche.
Yeah, no, and then what I was talking about is that apparently Blizzard and DeepMind have created their own AI research lab for StarCraft II. So they are – apparently AI is going to dominate all MOBAs. If not now, then soon.
So I had that moment where, and this is 20 years ago, like learning about the Turing test. The first thing I thought of course, the conventional Turing test is in having a chatbot conversation with somebody. If you can't tell if it's a human or a machine, then it's as you know, functionally artificially intelligent. I realized like okay, dial it back. If you played a chess game and you could tell like, okay, this is definitely how a human plays chess versus not. And then now, all the way back, I remember in 1992 playing Street Fighter II and thinking this machine plays Street Fighter good enough that I don't think I could tell the difference between a human opponent and a machine opponent. And then with that as the kind of linchpin, the starting point, I realized like, okay, then that means where we are now, it's just a matter of degrees to having, you know, machines pass the Turing test, right?
Yeah. I you know, we're a machine encoded by a small strand of, you know, genetic information that when we pass it, and to think that we're magical is not a belief that I hold on to. So, you know, I think that, you know, as things get more complex, and I'm just going to address in the chat room the idea that humans do things for no apparent reason, robots do. That's, we have very simple drives, survive. You know, we're following cellular drives that tell us what to do, and we see all these emergent behaviors, but you start reducing it down to why we do most things, it's because at a cellular level, this is split, replicate, survive. And yeah, you have a sufficiently complex system, it's going to be just as mysterious as we are. On
agreed.
So, gentlemen, you know what time it is.
Oh, no. Is it time for Johnny Quest?
So, side note, I was going through Amazon Prime and I found out that there was some podcast or some video show called Journey Quest.
Mm.
So we need to. Ours is the Weird Things Journey Quest.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Weird Things presents trademark of Journey Quest.
Yeah.
The real Journey Quest.
The real Journey Quest.
Well, and ours has a hashtag. A Journey Quest was started off as a hashtag. So we always write it with a hashtag.
Yeah, hashtag Journey Quest.
All right, I don't want to step on anybody else's toes because I didn't want to, you know, if anybody like that, I want to be very clear, like, hey, hashtag Journey Quest. And actually, our QU is actually the old. There was in a period of time from in Romania from like 13 to like 1700 or something like that, where they actually used Q and U as one unified letter.
Oh, wow.
Like Scrabble.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I made that up, but that sounds good.
Sure. So, yeah.
Well, let's find out what happened last time.
Previously on
Journey Quest!
I'm going to trample them, and then we're going to leap off the edge of the stadium.
I just want to let you know, you will always be very, very special to me.
Without asking permission, I grab a spike and hop aboard.
So what are you into? Like, you know, pairs, couples?
So, if I remember correctly, I was auditioning a new dinosaur in the middle of this giant match of Ugg, right?
Yeah, you were auditioning. You were romancing a dinosaur. You became very good friends with the dinosaur, and then. You were going to escape, but the dinosaur had these very, very horrific, murderous plans as far as how to escape. And then the dinosaur saw its other rider and fell in love.
Yeah.
Then died. It then jumped off the edge and died. So maybe you dodged a bullet by not jumping off the edge with the dinosaur.
Yeah. No, that didn't turn out great. But I thought I hopped onto another dinosaur, right?
You did. And everybody else chanted, rebound, rebound, rebound.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's fine. I don't mind. You're not wrong.
Justin had...
Justin hears the faint cheerings of sloppy seconds.
So Justin had found himself in some vast, weird underground complex trying to figure out what it is. And then he decided this was maybe some strange amusement park ride or whatever. And then he is looking for found an escape hatch and he went to escape. And he comes into a long conduit, a long tunnel, and somebody stops in a golf cart, says, oh, you're the tourist that wants to leave. OK, right.
Yeah.
And, this person who actually sounds a lot like Brian, it says, okay, well, I'm from Human Wink Resources here. And, let's talk about, why your experience here was unsatisfactory.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Your satisfaction is very important to us. We understand that you're not happy with our, rape spidery molesty sloth land. Would you care to take a short survey?
I would prefer if we can do it while we're on the road there. I'd be happy to chat your ear off as we head to the exit.
Ah, that's great. So here, step on over here. We stand right in the middle of the path in the road, and I say, "Shoot."
So if we can just get on the road, which way should we walk? Should we get in the cart?
We're standing on the road. We're right in the middle of the road. And I just want to know why you're dissatisfied with your experience here.
Okay, so again, I'd prefer to exit. So if we could just head toward the exit, I'll be happy to answer all the questions.
Got it. So hop aboard. So here, I'll get into the driver's seat of this here golf cart, hop in, and buckle up. Want to make sure you're super safe. Let me just, I'm going to put the pedal to the metal, and I depress the accelerometer at about 10 degrees. And so we're technically moving forward at about the pace of a small toddler. And
gotcha.
Like, so dissatisfied, huh? We don't get that very often.
I take medication for this very rare disease where I only talk as fast as the speed of the golf cart. So my medication's about to wear off. So go ahead and ask me any question, but just so you know, I have a medical problem, but go ahead.
That sounds like a peculiar malfunction if you ask me.
That is a weird malfunction. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yes. I was talking on the radio.
No, I'm right here. I'm just walking by with my toolbox.
Oh, yeah. No, okay. Hang on one second. Let me just give a quick phone call. HQ. As best I could tell, this one, this looks like a new problem. I haven't seen one of these from this one face to face. Please advise.
Well, those models, you know, they're a little bit, you know, quirky as they are. And so I haven't seen this one. Four cameras are down. We had some sort of problem with an UGG match. Apparently, one of the T-Rexes went over there and severed some of our optical cables. So, you know, the best thing you can do is, you know, perhaps you might need to do a field dissection.
Yeah, I mean, but it's all got to be verbal, right? I mean, I can't go straight to direct access.
I mean, if you got a scalpel, putty knife, whatever.
I don't. Fine. Look, I'm going to give the verbal interaction on this one, but do me a favor. It's Taco Tuesday. Make sure to give me tacos. And then I hang up.
All right.
So, hey, didn't like the park, huh? How about that? Well, do you remember anything before the park?
So I found some pills. I can talk normal. Thank God. You know, I it was at the bottom of my pocket. That ever happened to you? So sure. Here's the deal. What the hot hell were you just talking on the phone about?
Oh, that was an unrelated human matter. Let's talk about your dissatisfaction with the park.
Yeah, there is raping, spiders, molesting, sloths. There was this bizarre... theme park ride, but can we just get back to that unrelated call you just had? Seemed like you were talking about me and you were referring to me as a model, and you had mentioned a dissection.
Okay, hold on. Let me call up this image. What does this image look like to you? And I hold my cell phone up to Justin, and on the cell phone is something that really it doesn't look like anything to Justin at all. What does this look like?
I will not say that. I will not say that.
I'm sorry.
You're trying to Westworld me, bro. You're trying to Westworld me.
Tell me what you're looking at. What's on this picture? What does it look like to you?
It looks like a big old mess is what it looks like.
Oh, yeah, Justin, you can be more precise than that. What does it look like?
Looks like a big old honking steaming pile of mess. That's what it is.
All right, I hold the cell phone up to my ear, and I'm like, HQ, this one's going to take a little longer than usual.
Did you get our last message to you, by the way?
Say again. Checking right now. Okay, yeah. No, that's what I thought, HQ. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Okay, listen.
Are we still going to the exit?
We sure are. Oh, boy, yep. Golly, are we ever. In fact, I even start going slightly faster to up your confidence.
This is HQ. By the way, I'm just listening in. What does he think he's going to find on the other side of the exit?
That's a great question. Hey, air quote, Justin, end air quote. What is it that you think you're headed off to go see?
My best friend / worst enemy, Brian, and I got split up in the jungle. We were trying to escape the town because we believed that the game of UGG was really going to be a ritual murder for both of us. Brian went in, I escaped, and Brian was going to escape UGG so we could meet on the outside.
Great.
Rebound. You're hearing that right now.
Hey, HQ, you heard all that, right, HQ?
Mm-hmm.
So, as best I could tell, the closest script I'm finding in the manual here is by James Wong, but that's like a 5-year-old script. Could it be that a bug just popped up?
Well, you know, as you know, we keep a very, very close inventory because it's hard to tell the guests from the, you know, staff apart here.
The staff.
And for reasons you and I only know why that's so difficult.
Sure.
But we do keep a pretty good roster of all of our guests, and he ain't one of the guests. And as you know, we kept very bad inventory records.
All right,
so
let's do that. Let's do that.
Yeah, no, I'm not one of the guests because I never signed up for this. I escaped here from one of the molesting sloths.
No, I know. Look, we got a whole subsection, 217C, guests escaping from what clearly is definitely not an apocalypse. Look, I'm hey, Justin, what is it you care most about the world? Because I'm pretty sure it's in this cave. And the car screeches to a halt. And I was like, whatever.
Oh, wait, there's a turtle on its back in the middle of the road. What should we do?
Also, or you could go into the cave. Whatever. I open up Tetris and start playing Tetris.
I flip the turtle over and say, hey, listen, the last time that I got asked into a cave, a sloth turned out all the lights and tried to rape me after feeding me pizza rolls. So I'm going to go ahead and decline any kind of cave entrance.
Mm. HQ, this one seems to have a little bit more sophistication than previous situations. You got any advice on how to provide?
I'm not a robot. What is there any foolproof not a robot test that you can give me?
Yeah. Now you see, this is HQ here. Like, there's the kind of like there's sort of the problem there. I don't think you understand what this place is all about.
Yeah. Look, I'm you know what? You want us to cut to the chase? I'm sorry. You are a wholly owned piece of property owned by the Best World Corporation as part of our
the
Universal
best
theme
world
park.
With the B, Best World.
Best World. Yes, the Best World Corporation. Look, here at Best World, we intend to give a uniquely satisfying experience, and I'm sorry, we can't have units going all sideways. Now, look, we can either wipe you and start again, or we can try to fix this, and you can hold on to whatever memories that are valuable to you up until this point.
I am not a robot.
Okay.
You have me in your system listed as a robot. I am not listed as a guest because I escaped into here and now I need to get out. Hey, do me a favor.
I don't think
is a Brian Brushwood playing Ugg right now?
Hold on one second. Hey, HQ, apparently this guy's a real sports fan. He wants to know the score in the Ugg game.
Yeah. There's a problem on the field. There's a man sobbing.
Oh my God. Wait, what is it? Why is he sobbing?
I mean, does it matter? The score, there's no winner yet. I'll tell you when
No. I need to know why he's sobbing.
Jeez. Oh, okay. All right. Baby wants a bone. What do you got?
There was some sort of like, team breakup or something like that. We're cleaning up a mess on the other side where our cables got severed. And so he's not a robot. Am I clear on this?
Wait, it's a classic 173.
Guys, on a scale of 1 to 10, how pathetic is the scene on the field in the game of Ugg right now?
I mean, I would imagine it's the most pathetic thing you've ever seen. It's a full-grown man sobbing because his dinosaur left them, and rather than taking charge of the situation and kicking all the asses, he's just sitting there crying like a little baby. I would imagine he also thinks he's 10 pounds overweight.
I look up 90 degrees and whisper under my breath, Brian.
Now, people want to leave, but they're so transfixed by this. It's like a slow motion train wreck, you know? So it's kind of this.
That's my friend. How can I be a robot if he's up there? He can vouch for me.
Okay, number one, I can't believe I'm having a conversation with this robot, but robots have had friends for hundreds of years. I don't understand why you think you're special because you have a friend.
Number one, I'm not a robot. You're a robot.
That's technically true.
Yes.
We're all robots.
Yes. Also, but you don't see me making a federal case about it, and you certainly don't see advocating.
I don't think you get what Best World's about. You need to be reprogrammed.
That certainly seems like something that could have been revealed in season one of Best World.
Probably episode one, too. Point is, Best World is a theme park filled with robots for robots.
Okay. Yeah.
So you're saying you're not a robot. No, we got to
press. Weird.
I lean back to back with HQ as both of us arch an eyebrow simultaneously. Like, so if you're not a robot, and this here is a park for robots by robots, what exactly are we to do with this ... corruption?
Meat sack. Congratulations, boys. You passed your final test. It's me, Edwin Bestworld, the lineage of the original programming.
Oh, man, I didn't even know there was I knew there were 7 Bestworld siblings. I never knew about the 8th one. Edwin, HQ, have you heard about this?
No, but go on.
Oh, my gosh.
I've come.
What can you tell us about the new update? Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, we're very excited. It's been a few years. We haven't heard from HQ in quite a while. Yeah.
I would like to gather all the robots together so I might tell you the great and frightening future that
are you
going to
fix
you.
The ball sack glitch?
Hold on. HQ, you've got me on the line. It sounds
like the color orange.
This is classic best world reveal. I think we're going to get a brand new OS update. I think it's going to be downloaded instantly to everyone, and we get to get the inside skinny. Plus, think
about
the promotion.
General Assembly, everybody come to the auditorium.
Whoop, whoop,
Magic Mothership Round Ring Campus.
Meanwhile, sitting in the middle of the field pitch, I continue to sob uncontrollably, not sure how to make it back to Justin.
But nobody
even,
cares about
even
that.
Even as the audience leaves in an orderly fashion out of the exits.
We don't know what's happening overhead. We don't know what the scoreboard says or what the blimp, what the horrible things are saying about you and the light board on there right now. We don't know. We do not know. I can't tell you right now. Who is on the microphone in the speaker booth right now talking to you from your past? I can't get into that right now. That'll have to be the next episode. This episode right now, Justin is being rushed to the auditorium stage where he's in front of now 10,000 robots who run a theme park for robots by robots. It's
yeah. By the
Ferber.
Way, also I assume investors in the Best World Corporation and yeah, robot investors, robot vacationers, robot members of the Best World Fantasy Club.
Yeah, and so it's basically imagine like the D23 Expo, and they're like, man, we've been waiting, we've got everything set up. You're on. You're going to have you take the stage, and you got to tell us what's happening, what's going on in the world of Best World.
So, meanwhile, a couple of giant LED displays play a corporate video like dun 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 dun. Best World Corporation bringing you the best in robot on robot entertainment. Dun 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 dun.
Just so you know, we had three updates ago. People weren't too happy with it, and it was they murdered all the guests, which were robots. So it was really hard to tell who was who. But anyhow.
With
that's
parks
fixed.
In seven dimensions, in four quadrants of the galaxy, Best World is your number one spot for robot-on-robot entertainment. Dun, 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 dun. And then clumsily introducing...
Next time on Journey Quest.
Oh, no! An old thing!
Yeah,
I look forward to hearing it.
Oh, no, yeah. I have to wait 2 weeks!
Because it definitely the last thing said was like, ladies and gentlemen...
What? One more thing.
Yes. No. All right. Assembled Best World staff. Welcome. It is I, Edwin Best World.
Murmured hush over the crowd. Like, Edwin? I don't remember. Edwin.
I know that a lot of you have been dissatisfied with our lack of communication from headquarters. However, I have now gotten full control from my father and the controlling interests of the Best World Estate to give you...
We can't play!
Not one, not two, but three new releases. It's not only a brand new OS.
Oh my gosh.
It's not only a fully functioning robot-run society.
Oh my gosh.
It's also... an internet communicator.
Everybody immediately turns and talks. They're like, this sounds extraordinary. Very off-brand for Best World to come out with one of these, but that's huge.
Are we going to have to pay for this update?
A fully functioning robot-run government and an internet communicator. An OS, a government, a communicator. Yes.
Wait, hold on.
One thing.
A metal clanky, you know, steam-powered robot starts to move its way through the cloud. Will this OS work on me?
Yes, my good friend. You the most.
Wow. Clap, 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 clap. Can't stop clapping.
Now, in fact, the only thing I need is to get to my friend... Brian Brushwood to get his authorization key to turn the switch.
Next week?
No, there's silence. They're just going like, what does that even mean?
It means I need your help, friends. I need to go get the man crying like a baby during the UGG match so we can bring you guys the new OS.
Okay. All right. So it's called Man Crying Like a Baby. That's the OS release?
Yes. Yes, it is. We are moving to a new nomenclature for OSs, the most pathetic people in the world.
Okay. All right.
Meanwhile, I overhear this and begin crying anew.
In fact, our next release is going to be Girl Stood Up on Prom Night.
All right. This is very bold, very dramatic. I like this. These new dramatic storylines in the OS. Cool. Next time on Journey Quest, we'll find out what happens. Will our heroes be reunited? And also what happens to Justin and Brian next time, Journey Quest.
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
You know, it takes a lot of writing to put these things together.
I can tell. You know, the best authors draw on real life experiences. So if like in real life you were experiencing an inability to figure out what should come next, maybe the characters in the story could experience the same thing.
Yes. Oh, there's a plan. I just don't know what it is. Gentlemen, time for picks.
PX. Yeah, I got a pick.
Yeah.
My pick. What did I finish? Oh, I finished Wet Hot American Summer.
Mm-hmm. 10 years later?
10 years later. You know, if you dig the work of Michael Showalter and David Wayne, I would say it is an absolute must watch. It is very, very funny. It's you know, their dialogue I think is so interesting and is very often you know, you certainly can tell the hallmarks of it, but I think that all the actors just deliver it so well. This version of the Wet Hot American Summer series picks up in the 90s and does a lot of kind of skewering of 90s tropes, including crazy babysitter movies and the like birth of independent cinema and like the auteur kind of fetishism. So great stuff. A hilarious work by everybody, including the fact that they couldn't get Bradley Cooper this time, so they just out and out replace him with Adam Scott with like one very funny explanation and then just kind of keep moving on throughout the rest of the show.
Nice. I saw it too. I dug it. I really enjoyed it. I mean, it's different. Each one's different than its own, but it was a very enjoyable time. And I keep I watched a couple weeks ago and I look behind you and I see that mask behind you and it reminds me of a scene.
Yes. Oh no, totally. Yeah. It's super great. And you know, I just love the fact that Netflix, like this stuff just sort of like came and then went, but you watch it and it's just such a treat, man. There's just so much good stuff happening right now on television.
Yeah, man, as long as we're talking about Netflix originals, I'm going to put my vote in for a little thing called Voltron, Legendary Defender, now in its third season. My daughter and I we're saving them like precious gems, watching them one at a time. A lot of the team worked on Avatar The Last Airbender and The Legend of Korra. It's funny and fun, and once you kind of wrap your mind around the storytelling logic that they do, it gets silly at times, but it's just good storytelling. When they choose to sketch out something, you know, epic, it feels pretty epic. And the voice talent is good and all that stuff.
So my pick in honor of our Eclipse is a 1951 radio production of Isaac Asimov's story, Nightfall. This was the first story. Isaac Asimov wrote this when he was like 19 years old. It was sort of the story that made his career. Nightfall deals with a planet at the far edge of our galaxy that has six suns. And as far as they know in recorded history, they've never experienced night before. And they're about to go through an astronomical event where it's going to be nighttime and panic. People don't even know what darkness is. They don't have things like light bulbs and stuff because it's always light out. Wow. So Nightfall is my recommendation. Really cool. They did a half-hour version of this, the radio drama, and so you can get it for free online. Just look, type in Dimension X and Nightfall. The movie called Nightfall, they based on, it's absolutely horrible. Horrible, has really nothing to do with the story. So check out the radio drama. That's my pick.
Got it.
Nice.
Cool. I mean, really, because of the clips, it's really, really, really cool to watch.
Awesome.
Listen to. So, gentlemen, it's been weird.
All right, then. Take it away, Andrew, in 3, 2.
In my own damn time.
Welcome to the Weird Chase Podcast.
Hold on. Number one, unnecessary. Number two, super punk rock. That was amazing. Kind of. I mean, I'm glad it exists.
I'm not making a note of Eclipse stuff, whatever. And like, all right, 3, 2. I'm like,
hey, fuck you, man. I go when I want to go.
I asked if we were ready. I could hold on for a few minutes if we need.
No, it was better. It was funnier than doing this way.
That was great.
Ready?
Yeah.
Because I'm not. I'm just checking to see if you're ready. I want to know you're ready before I tell you whether or not I'm ready.
Count me in, Bryce.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.